As we now move into a season of celebration, many celebrations actually, you may be heartened to know that the war on Christmas is over. Or at least it is being won with victory in sight. For those of you who may have missed it, this war on Christmas, then you just haven't been paying attention for the last several years. The clarion call was sounded 6 years ago when then Fox News commentator John Gibson, published a book titled The War on Christmas, How the Liberal Plot to Ban the Sacred Christian Holiday is Worse Than You Thought. Wow. See, I bet you didn't know that. Mr. Gibson's argument was that the use of phrases like Happy Holidays or Season's Greetings rather than Merry Christmas was really part of a secular liberal plot with an anti-Christian agenda. His target wasn't government so much in this business about whether creches should be displayed on government property and all of that. His main target really was merchants and business establishments who wish their customers happy holidays or make use of the term, more use of the term holiday than they do Christmas. Perhaps it's naivete or moral blindness on my part, but I'm seeing something far less sinister when it comes to how stores herald this season. Good capitalists that they are, they need to make money. Whatever language they choose to use this time of year, I assume, is a business decision made for the purpose of doing a good business. After all, there's no government edict I'm aware of that is telling Target or Macy's or Walmart or any of these other places what kind of advertising language they can use. My guess is they go with whatever phrase is most pleasing to the most potential customers. Looking for some kind of a stealth liberal plot in all this strikes me as pretty silly. And personally, it's of no great moment to me whether a clerk wishes me a Merry Christmas or a Happy Holiday or Season's Greetings or anything else. I still hate shopping. And I just want to get out of there and go home and curl up with a good book. Anyway, cut to 6 years later, or kind of track the course over the ensuing 6 years, and we find that one of Mr. Gibson's fellow commentators on Fox News, Mr. Bill O'Reilly, took up the good fight during those 6 years, and his reports from this war front became pretty basic fare about this time of year on that network ever since. But then, just this past week or so, Mr. O'Reilly proclaimed victory of a sort. Apparently, he is now hearing more Merry Christmases in stores this year than he was in the past, and he attributes this to his threats of boycotting those stores that only offer Happy Holidays as somehow turning the tide. From his own words on one of his recent broadcasts, The O'Reilly Factor, he informed his viewers and listeners, quote, "Over the years, we have seen documented attempts to diminish the holiday by getting rid of the word Christmas, banning decorations, and hazing the celebration in general." Wow. Again. "But," he says, "we can take heart because we, whoever we may be, have won most of those fights, but they have been intense." He then hastened to add that his program, The Factor, has been, quoting again, "the watchdog against the forces of darkness." The thing I got the biggest kick out of in listening to all this was Bill's victory proclamation was made against the backdrop of what we generally refer to as a Christmas tree, a symbol the early Christians appropriated from the pagan druids of Europe, but never mind, it has absolutely nothing to do with the birth of Jesus. I really thought he would have at least claimed victory against the backdrop of a creche, but again, never mind. Well, before leading Mr. O'Reilly to his delusions of grandeur, I should at least point out that we as a nation, according to the Pew Research Organization, 78% of our citizens claim the Christian faith. 44% of our citizenry attend church at least once a week, which well outdistances most other Western nations. All in all, it makes for a pretty strange and unlikely country within which a war could be going on against the most predominant of Christian holidays. But the Christian right in this country seems to need some expression of what Mr. O'Reilly called the forces of darkness to rail against in order to have a reason to exist. And I guess a nonsensical war on Christmas works about as well as anything, but if that war has now been won, I guess we'll just have to wait to see who the next dark villain will be. Well, before letting all this matter go, however, I have to point out the supreme irony in all of this war on Christmas business. And that is, there really and truly was a war on Christmas in this country sometime before it became the United States of America. And it wasn't waged by secular humanists or any other such sinister types. It was waged in earnest instead by the first Christians to come to these New England shores, that is to say, the Puritans. Their very name bespeaks their mission, which was to purify Christianity from any and all corrupting influences. So they reason, December 25th is actually the date of a Roman pagan feast to the sun god Mithra, and was a celebration of the return of the sun following the winter solstice, and had no connection at all to the birth date, the unknown birth date actually, of Jesus. So December 25th had to go, along as it did with all the other festive type celebrations on that day. Decorating trees, burning logs, again the Puritans reasoned, were part of the tree hugging practices of the ancient Druids. So that banishes the Christmas tree and the Yule log, again, as far as the Puritans were concerned. Greenery, too, was a pagan symbol for the persistence of life in the face of seeming death of the earth. So no hanging of the greens for our Puritan ancestors, and so on down the line. And for a time there, in 17th century Massachusetts, when the Puritans held their theocratic sway, the celebration of Christmas was indeed legally banned, just as it was in England during the interregnum of Oliver Cromwell, for the very same reasons. The fine for observing Christmas in New England at that time was something like 5 or 6 shillings. Now, how such an edict was ever enforced has long been a point of curiosity with me. I gotta wonder, did local authorities go around and peek in windows to see if anybody was having Christmas dinner and exchanging presents? And if they did they go in and arrest them for this kind of illegal behavior? It's probably just the way my crazy mind works, but I do think about these things. So, as I say, the greatest irony in the Christian right's bemoaning of how secularists and liberals are trying to ban Christmas is the only people in this country who ever actually managed to do that were, well, conservative Christians, our dear Puritan ancestors. And the compound irony in all of this is that our dear Puritan ancestors were absolutely right when they cited their reasons for banning Christmas. Many of the celebrations and decorations we associate with Christmas have little, if any, bearing on the birth of Jesus. They derive instead from celebrations, customs, and traditions that well predate the Christian era and that were incorporated into what we now call the celebration of Christmas. And much today of what constitutes Christmas in America has only come from about the 19th century on. Even after the ban on Christmas was lifted, it still was not a greatly celebrated holiday. But then much of what happened in the late 18th, 19th centuries, as immigrants, particularly from Germany and Scandinavian countries, started to arrive and brought with them their Christmas customs and figures, like, say, Santa Claus, customs and figures that, as noted, predated the Christian era, and they were appropriated for it. So it's been a very gradual, kind of an evolutionary process to where we've gotten now. But our Puritan ancestors were right, only in the narrow sense. They offer a good example of how you can be correct in one respect and still miss a much larger point. And they miss the larger point about the universality of this holiday season. They miss the larger point that it's everybody's holiday. And it's this bigger picture to which I'd now like to turn. For the bigger picture is that the festivities and celebrations and observances of this season cannot really be contained in any one faith tradition. They cannot, in fact, be contained at all, as those early New England Puritans eventually came to learn. They cannot be contained because they speak to certain fundamental human needs and desires and yearnings that we all experience in the depths of our being, in our hearts and minds and souls, whether we identify with any one faith tradition or not. And I think the four themes of the Christian Advent season, which begins on this Sunday, speak well to those universal yearnings, those universal longings. And I find in them a good example of how the particularities of one faith also transcend that faith and move up into the realm of the universal. Well, the four Advent themes are joy, hope, peace, and love. Think of them for just a moment in conjunction with Dr. Abraham Maslow's well-known hierarchy of needs. Maslow, you may recall, first identified our basic human survival needs. He had this pyramid of needs there, and he said the basic ones there at the foot of the foundation of the pyramid are things like food and clothing and shelter, your basic safety and the like. And then he held that once these needs were reasonably assured on a continuing basis, there were certain higher needs that we also need to attend to give our lives some higher and more significant meaning beyond survival. And I would say that these four Advent themes speak very well to those higher needs that we aspire to, so that our lives will have some greater sense of wholeness, some greater sense of completion. Joy, hope, peace, love. Those aren't the same terms that Maslow used once he got a little further up on his pyramid there, but they speak well to what he was talking about. So let's take a trip just around those four bases for the next few minutes. For they are everybody's needs, and that's why this is everybody's holiday. Start with joy.